I'm inviting you to turn to 2 Chronicles. We're going to look today at the life of one of the great kings in the history of Judah, namely Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was one of the greatest kings in Jewish history. And he had to face the enemy one day. And God said to him through the preacher, through the prophet, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 17, "Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." Now, how would you respond to an announcement like that? Well, 2 Chronicles 20:18 tells us how Jehoshaphat responded. "And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord." And then in verse 19, "The Levites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a loud voice on high." Now, Jehoshaphat's life is a very challenging one. The record is most interesting. I think someone with the knowledge and skill could write a beautiful novel about this man. I'd like to divide our study into three acts in a wonderful drama in this man's life. And they all have to do with war. Now, it may be a strange theme, but it is what is involved in our study of the Word of God today. Act 1 is in 2 Chronicles chapter 17, and we're going to call this act, No War. Asa died, Jehoshaphat became king, and he strengthened his forces militarily in chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. But he didn't stop there. He did not depend only on military might. So often today, the nations of the world depend upon military might, political power. How much money do we have? How many missiles do we have? But Jehoshaphat depended upon the Lord. Verse 3, "And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the first ways of his father David, and sought not Baalim," that is, the idols. "He walked in the commandments of God," and so what happened? Verse 5, "The Lord established him and his kingdom. The Lord gave him riches and honor in abundance." Again, this is Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And his heart was lifted up." Now, if you stop there, it would sound like pride, but don't stop. "His heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. He took away the high places and the idols out of Judah." And then that's the beginning, because the rest of it is that he sent people out throughout the land to teach and to show the people how they ought to walk in obedience to the law of God. Now, the result of all of this is no war. Verse 10, "And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. Because he pleased the Lord, he had peace." That's what Proverbs 16:7 says, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him." Alas, it did not stay that way. How wonderful it would have been if the record remained in 2 Chronicles 17, no war. But when you move to chapter 18, you move into Act 2 of this man's drama, a foolish war. Chapter 18, verse 1. "Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance." And I wonder if that did not tempt him. I wonder if he realized the danger of this, because the word says, "And he joined affinity with Ahab." Now, I don't have to tell you what kind of a man Ahab was, a wicked, godless man. This little phrase, "joined affinity," literally means he made a marriage alliance. He married into the family. Why did he do this? Well, I suppose it was political. He wanted the protection of Israel. He didn't need it. God was taking care of Jehoshaphat. The fear of the Lord was protecting him. Why did this king have to align himself up with a compromising alliance with Ahab? Alas, this led to problems. When you have friends, you have to protect them. And so he was called upon, Jehoshaphat was called upon, to help King Ahab in a foolish war. And you know the story, how that he was almost killed. In verse 31, we read that the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat. They thought it was the king of Israel. It's a sad thing when you get confused for the enemy. And they were going to kill him, but Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him. And God moved them to depart from him. Now, God was gracious to the king, and God was kind to see him through. He got involved in this foolish war. And when he returned home, Jehu went out to meet him and said in chapter 19, verse 2, "Shouldest thou help the wicked and love them who hate the Lord? Therefore there is wrath upon thee from before the Lord." In other words, God rescued you from this war, but you're going to reap what you've sown. You've made an unholy alliance here. Which leads us now to chapter 20, where we have invasion. You see, first there was no war. Then Jehoshaphat went out and got involved in a war, which he should not have done. Now the war comes to him. Why? Because he was allied with Ahab. The enemies of Ahab became his enemies, and now he has to go out and fight. And so it comes to pass in chapter 20 that a great host of people come out from Moab and from the children of Ammon to fight against Jehoshaphat. Now, right away, the Moabites and the Ammonites, of course, are the descendants of Lot. When Lot got into sin, and his daughters bore those two sons, Moab and Ammon. And so here we have the flesh against the spirit. Here we have the enemies of God coming to fight against Jehoshaphat. Now, what did he do? Well, he did what everybody ought to do when there's a battle. He prayed. In chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles, verses 6 through 13, you'll find Jehoshaphat standing publicly in Jerusalem in God's house praying. And this prayer is recorded for our edification, to show us how we ought to pray. Look at verse 6. He recognizes the sovereignty of God. O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? You're the ruler over all the nations. In verse 7, he reminds God of his covenant with Abraham. All of our praying is on the basis of God's promises to us. Abraham, thy friend. And then he reminds God of his promise, verses 8 and 9. When Solomon dedicated the temple, the promise was given that anyone who would pray before this house and cry out to God, God would answer. Then in verse 10, he comes to the present need. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, they have invaded. Verse 12, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? The name Jehoshaphat means when Jehovah judges, or whom Jehovah judges. In other words, Jehovah will plead our cause. So he prays, and he asks God to help. Now the answer comes from verses 14 to 17. The Holy Spirit of God comes upon one of the prophets, Jehaziel, and his pedigree is given there in verse 14. Jehaziel stands up and says in verse 15, "Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Verse 17, and here's our text. "Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." After you've prayed, listen to the word of God. The preacher said in verse 15, "The battle is God's." Verse 16, "The plan is God's." He even tells them where the enemy will be. Verse 17, "The victory is God's." So Jehoshaphat prayed, and he heard the word, and he believed the word. How do we know he believed the word? Well, verses 18 and 19, he bowed in submission to God, and in verse 19, they stood up and praised the Lord. You have two directions there. Some bowed down, some stood up. Some bowed in submission, others praised the Lord in song and with the instruments in the temple. Then the rest of the chapter tells us that he obeyed the word of God. He tells the army, "Believe the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." That's true. This reminds us of Joshua chapter 1. If your way is going to be prosperous, you'd better heed the word of God. And then he did an interesting thing. He took the singers who should praise the Lord. These singers were the Levites who had their beautiful garments on. He put them right in the front of the army. Now, I suppose you've heard some singers you'd like to put in front of an army, but that's not what the case is here. He's saying the battle's already won. There's nothing to be afraid of. No need to worry. Just go on out and sing the praises of the Lord, because God has already won the battle. And that's exactly what happened. Verse 22, when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, the Lord set an ambush against the enemy, and the people fled. And for the next 3 days, Jehoshaphat and his army picked up the spoils, returned to Jerusalem, and they blessed the Lord. All this took place. They assembled in the valley of Berakha, and the Hebrew word Berakha means blessing. After the battle came the blessing. They went to Jerusalem with joy. The Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. Now, what's the result? Verse 30. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. Now, what lesson do we learn from all this? Well, number one, when God gives you peace, don't go out looking for a war. Jehoshaphat was enjoying wonderful peace, and then he allied himself with Ahab. Beware of breaking down separation. There is taught in the Bible separation. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Don't help the enemies of God. Because if you do, then you've got to help them, and they're not going to help you when you need them the most. If you're helping the enemies of God, then God's enemies will become your enemies ultimately. Jehoshaphat learned his lesson. When difficulty came, he prayed. He listened to the word. He believed the word. He obeyed the word. And God gave him the victory. Many times in my life, I have turned to this passage where God says, "Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." I've mentioned before, sometimes we do have to fight. Sometimes God puts the sword in our hand and we do have to go out to battle. Sometimes God says, "Just stand still. I'll take care of your enemies for you. You shall not need to fight in this battle." That sounds like Exodus chapter 14, doesn't it? "Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed." Tomorrow, not today, but tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. I don't know what your battle is today. I don't know what particular enemy has come down upon you. If it's because of your own disobedience to God, then straighten it out with the Lord. That's what Jehoshaphat did. He repented. He was sorry for his sin. And God gave him the victory. Now, I realize that the meanings of names can be somewhat deceptive. But it's interesting, the Holy Spirit gives us in chapter 20, verse 14, the complete pedigree of this man who was the preacher. And, of course, each of these names has a meaning. Then upon Jehaziel, that means whom God watches over. God's watching over you. The son of Zechariah, whom God remembers. God remembers you. He won't forget you. The son of Benaiah. Benaiah means whom Jehovah has built. God's going to build you up. He's not going to tear you down. The son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel. And that means whom God comforts. God will comfort you. The son of Mattaniah. Now that's the Hebrew version of Matthew. The gift of God. God's watching over you. God remembers you. God has built you. God comforts you. God will give you the gift that you need to serve Him. And so God is fighting the battle for us today. Fear not, nor be dismayed, because God is going to give you the victory.